Well, as you know, we're pressing on through the book of Romans. We're still in Romans chapter 5. So I'm going to invite you to turn now in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5. By the way, one of our couples just got back from a trip to Europe. They're telling me a little bit about it. Another gentleman, one of our prayer partners, was mentioning how he'd just been to Hawaii this last week. And then someone in the courtyard told me about their trip to Hawaii. Now, all that brings up this point. I might need to teach on that verse about you have to take your pastor with you. Somehow I must have forgotten to teach on that or something. No, but great to hear. Vacations are coming up. Summertime, have a great time. But meanwhile, don't miss out. Much going on. Our Wednesday night series promises to be a great one. Just when you're in town, come on out. Don't take a vacation from growing in the Lord. So come on over and let's keep tracking together in the Lord. Romans chapter 5. Now we're going to be reading Romans 5, verse 12 to the end of the chapter. It's a long portion, but we really have to do that because it's all one package, so to speak. It all speaks to the important points that we'll look at this morning. But I want to encourage you something as we read this portion of Scripture to not let it get you overwhelmed, to not get overwhelmed by it all. One of my spiritual fathers was Pastor Chuck Smith, was under teaching for a long time, had the privilege to serve there on staff. But Pastor Chuck always said, simply teach the Bible simply. Well, that's my goal in coming to this portion, because this portion's got a lot in it, and it's pretty heavy-duty stuff. But I believe there's some things we're to glean from our time together this morning in this. Up to this point, Paul has clearly established that for the believer in Jesus, we are justified by faith. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't get right with God through good works or your good outweighing the bad or something. That's just not how it is. But rather, we get right with God by receiving the work Jesus did on the cross. And so the book of Romans, at its core, is about justification, just as if I'd never sinned, through the work of Jesus. It's by faith in that, and faith alone. And back in verse 1 of this chapter, he said, because of that, some things are the case. He said, having been justified by faith, we have, and he begins to talk about, we have peace with God, we have access by faith to the Lord, we stand in grace, all these things that because we've been right, we've been justified by faith in Jesus. Last time together, we were in a portion right above our verse for this morning. Up in verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so last time we just soaked in that awesome truth that God loves us so much that while we were still in rebellion, we were sinners, he sent his son to die for us. And what a great portion of Scripture. And we might want to say, can't we just camp right there? Can't we just spend a couple years right in that section? Well, no, Paul doesn't, and we can't, because there's so much good to come. We come now to verses 12 through 21. This is a portion of Scripture that is very important to all of us because it's foundational. These are foundational truths for every believer. And we didn't know these things. We need to have these things settled and the surety of them for us. Now, as you're going to see in a moment, reading through here can seem like it's almost too much to take in. But don't despair. Don't give up. We're going to go back after I read through it. We're going to go back and just work our way through it. Again, with the goal of gleaning from it the foundational points we all need to know. So, Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whew. No problem, right? That is so straightforward and easy to understand. Matter of fact, that is so easy. I'm going to call on someone just to go ahead and teach us about this. I'm sure you've got... No, it's, admittedly, there's a lot here. And your first reading, you kind of go, what? Again, don't let it overwhelm you. There's good stuff here. What is Paul saying in all of this that I just read? And what does it have to do with us today? Well, that's what we're going to work on. But I'll give you a hint. Go to verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin. Now go to verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, so even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to look at and focus on and hopefully let us soak in. Through one man, death came and it reigned. Death reigned, but God didn't leave us there. Because, as it says here, death reigned. We're gonna make a journey from where death reigned to where grace reigns. From where death reigned to where grace reigns. That's our journey for the morning. I've called our time together, Grace Reigns. Let's pray. Father, you caused this to be recorded, not just for an intellectual discussion, but rather we could heart lay hold of some awesome, awesome truth. Foundational, key for each one of us. So Lord, pray you keep away the distractions now and help us to really understand what it means. You've taken us from that place where death reigned to where now grace reigns. How we thank you for all we're about to consider. But again, Lord, let it be a heart receiving also. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Within counseling circles, and no, this isn't about to become a psychological lecture, but just want to point out something. Within counseling circles, there's often this ongoing debate as to what is the cause of, the source, the origin of emotional and psychological issues that people struggle with. And the debate usually centers around this idea. Are the issues that people struggle with psychologically and emotionally and all, are those issues due to nature or nurture? That's often the debate people discuss about. Is it nature or nurture that causes these things we struggle with? Are the personality and the psychological characteristics and issues that people have, are they caused by nature, meaning you're born with it, it's in the genes, you inherited that issue, that struggle, that personality? Or are they caused by nurture, meaning the things we struggle with, are they as a result of outside circumstances, things we've been through? And so there's an ongoing debate. Is it nature, born with it, or nurture, something we've experienced? While there may be a debate in the area of personality and emotional problems, Paul clearly helps us understand there's no such debate in the spiritual realm. When it comes to sin, and our real core problem, it's all nature. We were born with it. And that's going to be important to understand as we look to God's remedy and cure for that. God is clearly declaring here, we are born sinners already. Right from the get-go, we inherit it. We inherit it from our great forefather, Adam, that first man. Let's dive in and see why he's saying this and what it means to us today. Verse 12. Therefore, others, based on all that love he just read about, the fact we're justified by faith, all those great things, he's going to bring up an important point now. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Let's pause for a moment. Why do people die? What's it tell us here? Why is there death? Death entered the world. Sin, one man, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Why do people die? Because of sin. Death entered through sin, he's telling us. And that, of course, entered through Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were real people. They weren't just some allegory or nice little story that someone made up. Well, let's make up a story about how things began. No, Paul points to it because this is what really happened. God made them. And what happened in their fall is very real. And this fact that we inherited death and sin because of what they did is very real. You want proof that they were real? Death confirms it. Death through sin, it says. Death entered through sin. Remember, the Lord made the garden, put Adam and Eve in it, and said, you know, it's all yours. All yours to enjoy. Just got one thing here. Going to give you a choice. For love to mean anything, it's got to be a choice. So he puts one tree and says, don't touch that one. The day you do, you will die. Spiritually die, and death entered. And they touched it, and what God promised was indeed, of course, true. Death entered. But what Paul is trying to explain, something the Jews readily accepted, and he's building it upon, because he's going to get to something in a minute to show us how important this is. But what he's driving home here is that in that, we all became sinners. All have sinned, it says. Paul is saying that when Adam sinned, he sinned for the whole human race. When Adam sinned, he died spiritually. Adam became separated from God. That's spiritual death, is to be separated from God. Therefore, Adam could not pass along fellowship with God because he had lost it. Now, I know for some people, to our individualistic nature, we don't like that idea at first. Now, wait a minute. Why should I be declared a sinner because of what he did? How come I... That means... And it's, David said, I was conceived in sin. He said that from the very beginning, and God clearly says it, but we don't like that. We want to say, no, it should be a standalone thing. I should be accepted or whatever on my own merits, my own works and all. How come it's set up so that what he did, I had to receive that, inherit that very sin nature. Adam is the common father of every person on this earth. And it's important to recognize that in Adam, and meaning in his genetic makeup, there's now sin, and it was passed on to all of us. And we don't like that so often. But that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And it can turn out to be an important thing that that's the way it is. What he's saying is, because Adam sinned, all, therefore, sinned. We actually sinned in Adam, is the statement. Now, this is crucial to understand. There's a couple of really important points from all this, and this is the first one. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. There's a great difference there. It's not like we start with a clean, totally innocent slate, but then we sinned, so therefore we're sinners. No, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners from the get-go. And that happened because of what Adam did. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. This can be about Jesus. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So, why is it so crucial to understand that Adam sinned for the whole race? Here it is. It's important we all know this and understand how awesome important it is. Since by one man's sin all could be made sinners, that puts in place this awesome spiritual truth that since that things can be imputed to a group through a representative. And since by one man's sin, all could be made sinners, then by one man's righteous act, all can be declared righteous. Now, do you see why it's starting to become important? It's going to say in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." This corollary, that God has determined that one man could be the representative for a group, that's at the core of, that's the basis of this doctrine of justification by faith. One man can act on behalf of an entire group of people. God has set that in place. As Adam acted for the entire human race when he sinned, even so, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, acted for all of us in his righteousness. And that's imputed to us, put to our account, by all who by faith will believe in him, believe in that work. If you say, well, I don't like that, I want it to be that we all stand on our own merit. If you see, if one man couldn't have sinned for all, then one man can't pay the price for all. If it were left to be, say, okay, we get to all this determine our own righteousness, then we're lost. We're without hope, because God says our righteousness is as filthy rags. No, this is going to have to be by one, and it's only one, who would qualify to be able to be that representative. But he did do it. And the importance of that, as we understand this awesome transaction, this moving from one kingdom to another that he's done, it's only because we can be represented by a head, a federal head, as it's often called. You remember the story of David and Goliath. The Philistines on one side, all the Israelites on the other. They're going to have a war. But you know, they say, why all of us go fight? Let's just send out a representative. Goliath comes out and says, you know what, let's don't all have a big messy battle here. I'll represent our land, the Philistines. Goliath is a representative. You send out a representative, and whoever, which one of us wins, that'll apply to the whole, all the people that we represent. Goliath represented all the Philistines. If he wins, they win. If he loses, they lose. Well, nobody wanted to come out there until David stepped forward. And David stepped forward as a representative of all the people. If David doesn't step forward, no victory. They lose. They get captured. They get taken captive. But David did step forward and did win the victory. And his victory was the entire nation's victory. Same for us, of course. If Jesus doesn't go to the cross, no victory. But when he goes to the cross, which he did, of course, we receive. If we receive that work, his victory becomes ours. So it's that idea of a representative. Thank God he put that in place. So we may not like it at first. Wait a minute, why should Adam be able to represent me and get the sin? Because it's a spiritual truth that's going to wind up resulting in an entire change of our destiny that we couldn't have done on our own. It says here Adam is a type of Jesus. There's a couple of ways that's the case. There's going to be much more contrasted in a moment here. But in the beginning, both were sinless. Now, Adam didn't stay sinless. He's the only one created sinless to begin with, but he blew it. Jesus, of course, never failed, kept his sinless state. But Adam fell. But the type particularly, again, is this idea of that Jesus is like Adam and that they are both representatives, or the term oftentimes is a federal man. They're the federal headship, the federal head, who can act for all. So that's how they're alike. But now starting in verse 15, Paul's going to show some important contrast. Some contrast between Adam and Jesus. And this is so, it's so important for us. What a blessing for us. Verse 15 now. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." So I'm going to put up a little chart up here, a little PowerPoint slide. By the way, this isn't one of, ladies, this isn't one of Kathy's slides. You know how awesome hers are and the work she puts into them. Mine I slapped together as a, you know, what can I say? I'm a rookie, you know. Anyway, but it gets the idea across. On the left's going to be in Adam, and all those that are in that camp, contrasted to in Jesus, and for all those that are in Jesus. And the first thing, verse 15, teaches us is what? That in Adam, many died. But in Jesus, grace abounds to many. That's the first statement. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So the next thing we learn in this is in Adam came condemnation. But in Jesus comes justification. Again, just as if I'd never sinned. Which camp are you in? If you're in the left, got to get in the right. If you're in the right, good stuff coming. Good stuff up ahead here in just a moment. Good stuff we're being reminded of. Okay. Verse 17, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And so this verse now introduces the idea that in Adam, death reigned. But in Jesus, it says here, those who receive it will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So if you're still in Adam, death reigns. In Jesus, we reign through Jesus. Notice the statement in here, in verse 17, those who receive. In verses 15 through 17, Paul uses the word gift or the words free gift a number of times. And I want to draw your attention to this. Verse 15 begins, but the free gift is not like the offense. Later on in the middle of that verse, and the gift by the grace of the one man. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that. Further on in verse 16, but the free gift which came. Verse 17, towards the bottom there, and the gift of righteousness. Gift, free gift, free gift. He uses it a number of times here. And he says, the free gift came to all men. Now, that's going to provoke, or potentially provoke, a question that if you're not thinking, you may, or someone might bring up to you. It is this. Since everybody's counted a sinner because Adam sinned as the head for everybody, then if Jesus died for everybody, then how come we're not just all automatically considered forgiven? How come if his death came automatically to all of us, then why, if he's our representative, Jesus, then why isn't that for everybody the forgiveness, justification? The word for that is universal salvation. And people like to preach that, but it's not supported by Scripture. But you could say, well, wait a minute, if it's for everybody there, then why wouldn't Jesus do it for everybody? Because, and let's look at the reason why it's the case. First of all, Paul makes it clear that the free gift is not like the offense, he says. They are not alike in how they're received. They're not alike in how the result of them. They're not alike in the application. So right away he's saying there's a difference here how all this works. Secondly, over these three verses I just read, Paul calls the work of Jesus over and over again a gift, a free gift. He never uses that term to speak about what happened through Adam. What kind of verse would that be? Well, Adam sinned. Now, how many would like to receive that gift? Adam sinned, and you're going to get this great sin nature now. How many want to receive it? Probably won't get too many hands on that one, I hope. But that's not how it works, he's saying. But when it comes to what Jesus did, he said, it's different from the offense. This one's a free gift. Now, by definition, a gift does no one no good unless they receive it. That's why he says, those who receive, they're in verse 17. So there's a contrast here. It's those who receive that it's going to be applied to. And finally, of course, Paul clearly teaches, as well as the rest of Scripture teaches, throughout the whole New Testament, all that not all are saved automatically. Offered to all, but must be received one by one. That will determine what camp we're in. Let's press on. Verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Again, free gift, because it's for all, it's offered to all, but must be received one by one. But notice that. See, Adam and Jesus are sometimes spoken about by commentators as the two men, maybe even titling their message on this portion of Scripture sometimes, the two men, because they are being contrasted here. They're both representatives, and both have their thing that they bring into a life. And in verse 18, part of that is this. It says, through Adam, through one man's offense, judgment came. Condemnation came. But in Jesus, it says, came justification of life. So the next thing we'll add to our little chart, in Adam came judgment, condemnation. But in Jesus came justification of life. And then in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And so the last point will be, in Adam, many are made sinners. In Jesus, many made righteous. Verse 20. I am so glad we arrived here. These two verses are just bringing it all together. May we all soak in it and rejoice in it and receive of it. And understand what all this has been leading to. Why Paul's doing all this. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Law cannot save us. It only is given to show us that we're sinners. It shows us God's character. Now we're not like him. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded what? Much more. Thank God for these two verses. The phrase there, grace abounded, is a translation of a word that means to superabound, to overflow. Wherever there was sin, grace is more. It overflows more. It hyperabounds. It superabounds. After first service, one of the ladies came up to me and said, you ever seen kids play with those super soakers? I go, oh yeah. She goes, well, that's what like God does. He super soaks us in grace. And I, in a way, I want to stand up here today and kind of do that. Lord, help me just be a super soaker. Just overflow us, overwhelm us with grace. Not deserved, not earned, none of that. Just poured out, overflowing, abundantly overflowing. More than any sin. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You might say, Paul, you keep saying, you're talking about this, how we can't earn our way to heaven, that it's by grace. Why do you keep doing that? I would suggest one reason, because God knows what we're like. And people will too often fall back into somehow into a works mode. Oh, I'm saved by grace, but all of a sudden we drift into somehow I'm working to show what a good deal God got, or I'm going to gain some spiritual brownie points. I'll somehow be more spiritual in this way, or whatever it is. So Paul hammers home over and over, there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven. It's all by grace. Therefore, he gets all the glory. That's what will make, probably help make it heaven. And he super soaks us in that grace. And then verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that. Here is the conclusion. All that he's been saying, this representative head, how we inherit the sin nature, but that through one man's work, though we're counted as sinners, we can also become, as we receive it, we've been counted righteous, we can be justified, all of this, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign. Death reigned, but now, through Jesus, grace reigns. Thank God. Grace reigns. You see, a reign speaks of a kingdom. We say a king reigns from his throne. A king reigns over this kingdom, over this country or something. And before Jesus got hold of you and me, death reigned, ruled, had sway in our lives. Death reigned. And sin, it had come through sin. But where sin abounded, grace abounds more. Two kingdoms, one of death, sin, and one of eternal life and grace. Receiving Jesus moves us from the one kingdom of death to the kingdom of grace. And it's sure, and it's eternal, eternal life. Eternal life is not just length of life, it's quality of life. It's where grace through Jesus reigns. It's where grace is poured out, superabundant grace. I want to draw your attention to something that I've mentioned before earlier as we taught in this in prior week. I've mentioned that in this chapter, Paul uses the phrase much more a number of times. Let's look at it again real quick. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, Paul said, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." But now we add to the hopper verse 15. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." Verse 17. "For if the one man's offense, death reigned to the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." And then verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." Much more. This, but much more of this. This, but much more of this. This, but much more of this. And each time it speaks of this grace, this love, the results of God's work in our life. All these much mores are ours because we're in the kingdom where Jesus rules. Now you're in his kingdom where the Lord rules and grace reigns. And because of that, all these much mores brought to bear into our life. We now dwell in the place where grace has superabounded to us. Rejoice, believer. Grace reigns. I can invite the worship team up. "Moreover," Paul says, "the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What camp are you in? If you are still in the Adam camp, God invites you to make the most important decision you're ever going to make. To move, let him move you to where grace reigns instead of death reigning. As we wrap it up, go to the corner, find a prayer partner, and get this thing settled. But believer, soak in this. Let him super soak you in this grace that abounds much more, super abounds to us. Rejoice. Let's rejoice now and always. Father, for these things we looked at and considered, Lord, awesome stuff. What love, what love. Thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you that you loved us so much, you sent your Son to do that. And thank you, Lord, that by faith and faith alone, faith in Jesus, trusting in that complete work of the cross, you've taken us out of where death reigned to where now grace reigns. We thank you. And we choose to respond now in this time of praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.